Hello, my name is Marlene, and I'd like to welcome you to Vegan Nation. Vegan Nation is an informational program featuring music, news, events, and interviews about the vegan evolution revolution happening worldwide, manifesting a paradigm of freedom, health, wellness, peace, and sustainability. The views in this program do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the station nor its management. I'd like to thank all our listeners for tuning in to Vegan Nation. In this episode, we're celebrating Abolition Day, the 7th year anniversary. We're joined by Shelley Harrison, who's the primary author and editor of the Abolition Amendment, a proposed amendment to the U.S. Constitution. Shelley Harrison is also the convener and co-founder of the Humane Party, the vegan political party in the USA. Thank you for joining us on Vegan Nation. We're very fortunate to be joined by Shelley Harrison. Shelley is the convener and co-founder of the Humane Party, the vegan political party in the USA, and he is also the primary author and editor of the Abolition Amendment. And we'll be hearing all about that, and of course, we'll hear about Abolition Day, and Shelley Harrison is also a law teacher. Thank you very much, Shelley, for joining us on Vegan Nation.
Thank you, Marlene. So glad to get to talk to you.
Me too. Thank you. Thank you for all you do and that what you've done all these decades as well for the vegan movement.
Well, thank you. And thank you similarly for all that you've done. I just love your show, and I'm so grateful for the many people that you've had on your show. You've just had an incredible lineup through these years.
Thank you, Shelley. Thank you. So let's hear about Abolition Day.
Abolition Day was created in 2015 by the Humane Party as a way both to celebrate the ending of human slavery in the U.S., which we call proto-abolition, and then also to promote and look forward to the ending of all slavery here in the U.S. And so we chose the date of December 6th because that was the date on which the 13th Amendment was ratified, the 13th Amendment to the Constitution, the U.S. Constitution, was ratified, which officially ended the legal institution of slavery throughout the country, human slavery. And 2015 was the 150th anniversary of that date, of the ratification date. So on December 6th of 2015, we go ahead and officially proclaim that as a holiday that the Humane Party was celebrating, and then that we wanted to get also passed at the national, at the federal level.
Yes. Yes, very important, very powerful. Thank you to you and the team of volunteers at the Humane Party who drafted the Abolition Amendment. And so let's hear some details about the Abolition Amendment. However, it is quite extensive, all five sections, and I appreciate the interview that we had back in 2016 of a Vegan Nation interview to cover all five sections. So anyone who's interested in the full details can visit vegansradio.com for those 2016 interviews with Shelley Harrison. Shelley, could you please tell us about the Abolition Amendment?
Yes, so the Abolition Amendment was published in its final form on Abolition Day of 2016, so December 6th of 2016, which would have been the first anniversary of that holiday. The Abolition Amendment is a proposed constitutional amendment that the Humane Party began working on from day one of the party. So starting in 2009, when we launched the party, we had already intended to produce a constitutional amendment to that effect, to the ending of all slavery. We went through a number of iterations of the proposed legislation. We tried a sort of laundry list approach where just going through and saying, you can't do this, and you can't do that, and you can't do that. And then we eventually settled on the idea of using the kind of pre-existing language of the 13th Amendment and then building off of that, changing that, to meet the modern needs, and then also expanding upon that through other sections. And that was the approach that wound up being the approach that we stuck with and wound up being very fruitful. So in 2016, We finally finished the writing and editing process. We had been publishing iterations for about a year by that point to the public to get public commentary on each successive draft once we finally hit on this kind of approach. So each successive draft, you know, became more and more refined, both through public comment and also through the research and development internally. And then finally, on December 6th of 2016, so the first anniversary of Abolition Day, we published the final version of the Abolition Amendment. And it is, a proposed constitutional amendment ending all slavery in the U.S. The 13th Amendment, of course, ended human slavery, but the Abolition Amendment ends all slavery for all species, all sentient species, and also removes the punishment clause. That was another thing that we had targeted from the get-go. The 13th Amendment, in its existing form, has an exception to the prohibition of human slavery, and that exception, which is sometimes referred to as the punishment clause, allows slavery in the context of punishment for a crime. It says punishment for the crime whereof, I don't have the exact language sitting here in front of me, a copy of the 13th Amendment, but punishment for a crime that the defendant has been duly convicted for. Unfortunately, that language, that exception, forecloses some of the arguments, the constitutional arguments that would otherwise be available against things like for-profit prisons. And so we wanted to get that out. And so the Abolition Amendment achieves that, gets rid of the punishment clause with respect to human beings, while also getting rid of slavery for all sentient species, all in that one fell swoop. Of course, when you're going to go through the process of creating a constitutional amendment and getting it ratified, which is a really just a Herculean task, you want to be sure that you get everything done in that one effort rather than having to make multiple constitutional amendments if you can avoid that. There's only been, since the Bill of Rights, which is the first 10 amendments, since that time, there's only been like 17 constitutional amendments in these 200-and-something years. So it is a very difficult process. But now that we have that language in place, the next step can begin.
Thank you, Shelley. Thank you. Shelley, I like how the Abolition Amendment is the overall umbrella that covers all the different forms of animal exploitation practices and industries. Can you talk a little bit about that, please?
We kind of discovered that point in the process of creating the Abolition Amendment. As I mentioned, at first, our impulse was to go down the laundry list approach, where you can't kill animals for meat, you can't kill animals for leather, you can't rape them to make them produce milk, and you know, for the purposes of stealing their milk that should have been intended for their calves. You can't continue down that path. You can't torture them in supposed laboratories, supposedly under the name of science. You can't torture them at all. You can't, you know, torture them, you know, through the supposed medical system, and you can't kill them for entertainment, like, you know, in dog fighting or something like that. So we went through an entire kind of laundry list, but then we realized that listing off the hundreds or thousands, I don't even know the total number, the hundreds or thousands of ways that animals are exploited, kidnapped, raped, tortured, mutilated, and killed in our culture, there's really just no way to list all the possible ways. So that's when we kind of went back to the drawing board and came up with this more comprehensive language for the Abolition Amendment. Of course, being a constitutional amendment, it is the supreme law of the land, and so it can cover everything and just wipe out all those practices in a stroke, at least make them illegal. Now enforcing a given piece of law is a very different thing from simply passing that law, so I definitely, and we can talk about that later at some point, so I definitely am not trying to downplay the, act like everything just, once we ratify the Abolition Amendment, everything is kind of done for us. That's not going to be true, because that just brings up the next phase, which is enforcement. But it definitely is the kind of thing where you can at least establish a framework that takes care of all those hundreds or thousands of different issues. And again, I am not trying to at all downplay the significance of individual campaigns that are individually targeting a particular form of animal abuse. That's crucial. And so we have to treat that as part of the process of building up to the kind of coup de grace, which will eventually be the Abolition Amendment. That is your kind of masterstroke that ends animal exploitation in this country. But getting there will require hundreds of these intermediate battles that are being fought right now. So there's no contradiction between abolition at the national level, and all the kind of preliminary battles that have to be fought to get to that point. That being said, again, we do want to eventually keep our eyes on the prize, the kind of final victory of abolition.
Thank you, Shelley. Thank you very much.
My pleasure.
And speaking of the necessity for an amendment in order to achieve liberation and abolition of slavery and exploitation, what words can you say about those who have slogans such as no master, no slave, yet they're not vegan? So that's a problem, because asking for freedom while denying others freedom isn't going to work overall in the long run. So I'd like to hear your opinion on that.
You're talking about the so-called anarchist movement, or so-called anarchy type argumentation?
Yes.
Is that what you're referring to? Yeah, so, I mean, if a person is going to tout the slogan of no master, no slave, but they're not even vegan, then, you know, that is a kind of hilarious position to be in. You're not going to get very far while you're enslaving, torturing, raping, kidnapping, and killing other beings, all under the banner of no master, no slave. So that obviously is just a kind of non-starter. So, you know, it's like communism in that respect. You know, the communist slogan of, from each according to his ability to each according to his need, that kind of thinking, it just sounds great on paper. Who can possibly argue with that? That'd be a wonderful thing, in that it does actually work within a family setting where you have parents who are the ones who are able to provide, and then the children have needs, and the parents are happy to do the providing, and so that the children's need can be taken care of. So, you know, a sort of adherence to that communist slogan works within a sort of small family environment. But you try to trot it out into the light of day of real life, and you get the, you know, the genocides and so on that we witnessed firsthand when communism was actually rising to power in, for instance, in the Soviet Union.
Thank you, Shelley. Shelley, will you please give us a little recap of Abolition Day?
Abolition Day, for sure. Abolition Day is a holiday recognized and implemented by the Humane Party in 2015. December 6th of 2015 was the first Abolition Day, and it is a holiday both to celebrate the ending of human slavery in this country, which happened through the ratification of the 13th Amendment on December 6th of 1865. And then also to promote and look forward to the ending of all slavery for all sentient species in this country. So Abolition Day has both a backward-looking commemorative function and a forward-looking function to promote that end of all slavery. And it's been seven years ago now since 2015, which was the 150th anniversary of the 13th Amendment. And we were thrilled, of course, to have this holiday. We of course, were making the argument to the public that the holiday should be on December 6th. As it turns out, a little over 6 years after the Humane Party proclaimed Abolition Day, the movement gained steam and wound up being created into a national holiday based around Juneteenth.
As the 13th Amendment still stands today in 2022, that clause of allowing slavery for incarcerated individuals, Section 1 of the 13th Amendment, that is still active, too. With our Abolition Amendment and celebrating Abolition Day, that would abolish that form of slavery within the industrial prison system, or the prison system, for-profit prison system, all of it. Is that correct?
Yes, that's right. So in 2009, when we first undertook the first effort at the Abolition Amendment itself, the drafting there, which really was the motivation when we kind of reverse engineered the ending of human slavery in the U.S. and then went through the 13th Amendment process and then kind of recognized, hey, in order to get that done, there needed to be a political party. So, you know, you look back and you look at the founding of the Republican Party in 1854, and then you look back at the Liberty Party in 1840, which was the first kind of proto-abolitionist party in the U.S. When we looked back at all that, the big motivation, of course, was to get to the finish line with respect to the Abolition Amendment, just as the Republican Party had gotten there with respect to the 13th Amendment. And so the Humane Party is the modern kind of equivalent, or the kind of torchbearer from the Liberty Party of 1840 and then from the Republican Party starting in 1854 to the Humane Party, which is just taking that same torts, but moving it forward to all species rather than just humans. But anyway, when we targeted that, we were also, of course, hoping to knock out that punishment clause for human beings, because the 13th Amendment, yes, like you say, on its face, it still allows, it still does have that exception for slavery with respect to human beings. So knocking that out would be a wonderful thing. And indeed, in recent years, that idea has been picked up and put forward at the state level. There are a number of states who have modeled their state constitution abolition, proto-abolition position off of the national, the federal 13th Amendment. And so they also have, in multiple state constitutions, they have this exception for human slavery for punishment for crime. And then in 2016 and again in 2018, Colorado was able to get a measure on their ballot to amend the state constitution to eliminate that exception. And then in the most recent elections, November of 2022, five states actually undertook state initiatives to strip out that punishment clause out of their state constitutions. And four of those, if I'm remembering correctly, four of those states actually got it done. And so it is a movement that is moving forward with respect to that punishment clause. And that is, you know, it's, again, another thrilling development for and a victory for the Humane Party position there. That being said, of course, let's continue to carry this forward rather than, you know, stop now. Let's continue to carry this forward and take it all the way to the real finish line, which is the abolition amendment at the national level.
Thank you, Shelley. Right, the punishment clause, could you just explain that?
So we definitely wanted to target, you know, from day one to eliminate that exception with respect to human beings, because that, even though the modern abolition amendment is targeted toward other species, there was that lingering problem with respect to humans themselves. It cuts off the argument, the constitutional argument that we would have against, for instance, the for-profit prison system. And so in order to just wipe out that exception once and for all, we definitely wanted to just target that language and get it out of there altogether while we were in the process of just eliminating slavery in the country generally. I mean, if you're going to go through the incredibly difficult process of amending the Constitution, then you want to, of course, make sure that you kind of get everything done that you can while you're in that laborious process. So we definitely wanted to knock out that exception. Once all other species are freed in this country, we will still have a great deal of work to do to make those legal guarantees actually impact the physical daily lives and the physical liberation of all those other animals who are freed at that moment.
We're listening to Shelley Harrison, the convener and co-founder of the Humane Party, a vegan political party in the USA. Shelley Harrison is a law teacher, and he's also the primary author and editor of the Abolition Amendment. You're tuned into Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Molly Narrow in Worcester, Massachusetts. We'll be taking a short break, and then we'll continue our conversation as we celebrate Abolition Day, the 7th anniversary, December 6th, 2022. Welcome back from the break, and thank you for tuning in to Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene in Massachusetts. We're continuing our conversation with Shelley Harrison, the primary author and editor of the Abolition Amendment.
Getting a constitutional amendment passed is an incredibly difficult task. It's only been done 17 times, I believe, since the creation of the Bill of Rights. The first 10 constitutional amendments all came in as part of the kind of original package in the founding of the country, and they were ratified as the Bill of Rights. Since that time, there have been precious few constitutional amendments, but ultimately, if you want to ensure that a legal principle gets established and can't be overturned later, then the best way to do that is through constitutional amendment. It is the supreme law of the land.
And I have learned from our last interview back in 2016 that the Abolition Amendment can be used by anyone from any political party.
Well, I would just say that while the process of creating and publishing the Abolition Amendment was handled by the Humane Party, you can work toward the goal of abolition, which specifically means amending the U.S. Constitution, the supreme law of the land, so that slavery of any sentient being in this country is no longer legal. You can pursue that goal, the goal of abolition, the goal of amending the Constitution through the Abolition Amendment, which is what it will be, through that amendment. You can pursue that goal from anywhere. You can be a member of any party. You can not be a member of any party at all and pursue it in your own way. You could start your own organization. So whether you're a Democrat, Republican, Green Party member, Libertarian Party member, you can adopt the Abolition Amendment. You can, you know, talk to the other people in the party and say, hey, we should formally ratify this, you know, into our party platform. Even if you can't do that, you can still vote for it. Even if you can't get it as part of your platform, you can run for office. And in, while you're in office, you can further pursue the Abolition Amendment, and you can vote for it when you're at the table as a legislator, or when you're in an executive position, like a governor or the president of the United States. You yourself can do your part of getting the Abolition Amendment passed and freeing the animals in this country. It just takes a vote, or just takes running for office and receiving those votes, or mobilizing your organization, or if you can't, if you're not part of one yet, starting your own organization to pursue that goal. We can do it, and we will do it. It was only 25 years from the founding of the Liberty Party in 1840 to the passage of the 13th Amendment. That's a 25-year span. There's nothing that is preventing us today from being able to adhere to that kind of time frame. We've got the Internet, we've got television, we've got telephones and smartphones and all kinds of tools that they didn't have, cars and planes and so on. We can get the job done within the lifetime of people living today, of freeing the animals once and for all. And there's no reason not to do that. And you do not have to be associated with any particular organization to do that. You can pursue it yourself today. And so you could take up the full Abolition Amendment at your state level, and you could free all the animals in your given state. You don't have to wait for national ratification of the Abolition Amendment. You could abolish slavery in your state today.
Well, we're coming to a close in the interview for today, Shelley. What additional messages do you have for our listeners?
Well, at least one thing that I think that would be worth pointing out to people is that the Humane Party platform has really had an amazing run on those other points. We've, you know, had a lot of success in terms of popularizing, or at least gaining awareness around things like Abolition Amendment, but other positions that we've taken have really gotten embraced by the other political parties in a wonderful way in these last 10 years. So, for instance, in 2009, the state of the law was such that, you know, the Democrats and Republicans had passed the so-called Defense of Marriage Act. And this was, of course, something that explicitly was designed to discriminate against same-sex couples. And you had, you know, famous Democrat-Republican politicians out there like Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton who were out there promoting this idea that marriage is between a man and a woman. You know, they would say that phrase in kind of reinforcing this discriminatory regime. The Humane Party came out, of course, directly in opposition to all that discrimination, and came out with one of our founding initiatives was what we called the Equal Rights Amendment 2. And, of course, that would extend the language of the original Equal Rights Amendment to not only ensure equality with respect to sex, but also with respect to gender, and also with respect to marriage and choice of spouse or partner. And so that at that time, we were in direct opposition to those other parties. But now here we are 13 years later, and the Democrat-Republican, you know, powers that be now in Congress have created their own version of the Equal Rights Amendment. They created what they call the Equality Act in 2020 and 2021, and then also this year created the Respect for Marriage Act. And so between those two acts that they have proposed, they have now recreated the Equal Rights Amendment. So they've done a 180-degree shift from the Defense of Marriage Act, which they passed by essentially a supermajority to discriminate against same-sex couples. And now here we are, they've done a 180-degree turn and are actually now hoping to protect the rights of same-sex couples. You know, so that's a really good example of a Humane Party initiative that was obscure or directly oppositional at the time that we launched it, but then now has been embraced by the other political parties. And it's really just a validation of the Humane Party's decision-making process. Unfortunately, of course, the Democrat-Republican approach is not that of a constitutional amendment, which always leaves open the possibility that the rule can be changed. This is, of course, one of the big dangers that the U.S. population got reminded of this summer when Roe v. Wade was overturned. Again, the Humane Party has for a long time now been trying to urge people to not rely upon Supreme Court precedent, because the Supreme Court can always just change its mind. So that's actually a good example of why you actually have to go for, in these major rights, you have to go for a constitutional amendment. That's one thing that hopefully your listeners can just take away. You have to go for it at the constitutional amendment level when we're talking about these major rights.
Great, thank you. And can you give us a little recap of Abolition Day?
That holiday was created both looking back to commemorate the end of human slavery and also to look forward toward the end of all slavery. So here we are 7 years later. We've been celebrating Abolition Day since that time. A portion of the holiday that was proposed has now been made into federal law, which is wonderful, through the Juneteenth holiday, which was made into a national holiday in 2021.
Yes, great. Thank you. We're listening to Shelley Harrison, a law teacher, and Shelley Harrison is the primary author and editor of the Abolition Amendment, and he is also the convener and co-founder of the Humane Party, a vegan political party in the USA. Thank you very much, Shelley, for joining us on Vegan Nation.
Thank you for having me, Marlene. It's just wonderful to talk to you. I hope that you are set for a fun end of the year and holiday season.
Thank you, and thank you for sharing all these details and your knowledge and your wisdom about abolition and freedom and liberation for all beings.
Well, thank you.
Shelley, what resources can you recommend for individuals who are interested in learning more about Abolition Day and the Abolition Amendment?
Okay, yes. So, of course, they can go to the Humane Party website, just humaneparty.org. And then also, the Humane Party publishes an abolitionist publication called the Humane Herald. And so they can also go to humaneherald.org. And between those two things, you can learn more about a number of different Humane Party initiatives and also get some background, as well as just the text itself of things like the Abolition Amendment and the Equal Rights II Amendment. So you can grab the text and use it how you wish. Those things are definitely not intended to be proprietary. You can pursue the Equal Rights Amendment II, for instance, in your state, or you can pursue that nationally with or without help from the HP. But once a thing has been published, the important thing is to simply get those constitutional amendments ratified.
Thank you very much, Shelley Harrison. Thank you very much for joining us on Vegan Nation.
Thank you, Marlene. I am so glad to get to talk to you, and I'm just so grateful for all the amazing work you've done through the years of just interviewing these luminaries in the movement and bringing this out in this forum and this forum that you've created. It's just a wonderful thing for the movement and for the animals. And I'm just grateful for you.
Thank you, Shelley Harrison.
Thank you, Marlene.
And I'd like to thank all our listeners for tuning in to Vegan Nation. The views in this program do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the station nor its management. We've been listening to the music of Joseph Peck and his Steelpan Caribbean Band. Please join us again next week at the same time. You can hear this program again at vegansradio.com. This is Marlene in Massachusetts, wishing you a safe and pleasant day.